people out here are driving poorly. I suppose that's just the way of things. It's how it always is, right? Oh, but now we're, you know, now that we're creeping into the end of summer and, you know, people going back to school and stuff like that, I suspect the roads will again be flooded with people within the next week or so. Yeah, Southpaw Regional Wrestling. I saw that stuff was... I watched that trailer yesterday. That's very exciting. Is it sponsored again? That might be the greatest execution of custom content of all time. You know, integrated sponsorship, like, hey, we've got a sponsor, let's do a special thing. Like, that might be the greatest example of, you know, integrated branding, all that other stuff. The way they worked the chicken spots into that first run. No Ric Flair. Yeah, I mean, I would hope that the spots are at least as in the same style of the Ric Flair KFC bits. If it's just like, hey, we did this thing, and then there's just like this like standard dumb Old Spice ad in the middle of it, that would suck. That would be less good. Obviously, like, Old Spice is trying to be weird. Doesn't have the personal appearance. You know, you gotta change that up, I guess. You gotta try to freshen everything up a little bit, but that stuff was really good in the first set, so we'll see. I'll have to watch that stuff. I'm excited. I would really like it if they just did that as a show. That would be like the most exciting thing that company could do, is if they just turned that into a proper wrestling show. If they basically just shot episodes in the style of, like, the old Mid-South shows. And actually wrestled. Of course. Like, I think that's the thing. Look, I can tell you from some experience, any fucking group of idiots can get together and make fake wrestling that doesn't have any wrestling in it. Obviously, there's a huge variance in quality based on which specific group of idiots you get together to do that. But that's attainable by morons and improv comics who are not morons. You know, like, you can do the scent of wrestling, the flavor of wrestling, without having any actual wrestling. But the benefit this Southpaw stuff would have is that those are all actual, and in some cases, amazing wrestlers. And just do it in front of, you know, a very small crowd. Like, you couldn't even do it at Full Sail. Like, I don't know how you'd find... Shit, I wonder, you know, I wonder if you could just, like... Man, how would you do that? I would get a crowd. I would try to find a crowd who's not going to chant anything. And not be fucking a typical wrestling crowd of today, like those, you know. I would try to find a crowd that wouldn't... But also, I think what I would do for the broadcasts is use footage of old Mid-South episodes, use, like, any close-ups of crowds that they put into those, and just cut those in so they look like period-appropriate crowds when you get up close. Or you make the first three rows all extras, so they all look right. They all fit the style of the broadcast. Yeah, that AWA Pink Studio. Yeah, you could do something like that. You know, you could film it at the Performance Center and just have all the people attending the Performance Center dress up in period appropriate. Get, you know, like, you want it to look like this is an extremely small crowd anyway. So, but that's, you know, like, that's a pipe dream, right? Like, that's not at all, like, if you think about the WWE Network scaling back on so many of its shows and the way they've been cutting back on pyrotechnics, like, clearly they're in a cost-cutting mode that would preclude them from ever doing something like Southpaw on a grander scale. Unless the money came in. You know, like you think about it, like, they're probably only doing this. Well, look, I mean, yeah, they're doing this because there's a sponsor. They're doing this because they can just kind of attach a sponsor to it and directly do it. And without that, those videos don't happen, probably. Or they happen and don't get released because it's just them goofing around. I don't know, you know, you want to think that they would just do that a lot. Obviously, some of those characters predate Southpaw Regional Wrestling. Or Sex Ferguson's and whatnot. So yeah, maybe you would have to, like, get a sponsor to come in at a higher cost, like an even higher cost than what it is now, because then you'd suddenly be like, okay, we want to produce 5 full half-hour television shows with, like, 2 wrestling matches each in them, or 3, you know. 2 matches and 1 squash match. Or something like that. I would love that. I would love if Southpaw Regional Wrestling was a larger, more fleshed out thing. That would be the ultimate. That to me would be the ultimate wrestling. You're like, hey, we got wrestlers, and yes, they can wrestle, but also they're playing fucking total throwback goofballs, and, like, clearly they're having a lot of fun along the way. Like, that'd just be fucking great. Something like that, or something that was like, wrestling, like imagine a wrestling show that, like, pulls back the curtain so far that it literally is almost instructive, where it's just like, hey, alright, we're gonna have, I don't know, we can have, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, we're gonna have them get in the ring, and they're gonna have a 22-minute match. And we have mic'd the shit out of the ring, and we're just gonna listen to them, like, we're gonna listen to how they do it, and as they call the match in the ring, and actually, you know, and then occasionally we're gonna stop and say, here's why we're doing this spot again, because this just happened, here's what should have happened, you know, like, an actual, like, slow walk through some of that stuff would be fascinating. And, like, they're at that point now, right? I mean, like, wrestling's at that point where only kids think it's real, right? And plenty of them probably don't think that anyway. So if everyone is in on, you know, like, the true nature of it and are viewing it as this, like, coordinated, synchronized art, I mean, you know, like the art of wrestling, not the podcast, but the actual art, I think it'd be really neat to watch some people go through that stuff. Yes, everyone should be, but yes, everyone should be using the voice modulator and the mask from Wrestling Secrets Exposed. Let's just reshoot that whole. They should recreate that entire show, but with Southpaw regional wrestling characters. Like, really fucking go down a fucking deep hole. I don't know, that's where I'm at with wrestling. Like, I can't give myself over to it anymore. Like, I really, like, okay, just don't weave into my lane, sir. But yeah, you know, I'm at a point where I'm totally unable to, like, lose myself in wrestling. And go like, oh man, he almost pinned him. Like, no, like, I can't. Like, I'm too far gone on that stuff. To where now it's like, man, I thought the storyline was going to go this way and it didn't. And boy, I sure wish that it would have went that way, because I think that would have been more interesting. And blah, blah, blah. You know, the same way most people on the internet are now. They're ruined. And that's the other thing of, like, you know, not that I have met a ton, but, like, meeting wrestlers and talking to them about their craft and, you know, like, you know, in a real way. And you know, getting that feeling of, like, oh, here's what the people that are actually doing this actually care about. Like, it's usually not, and sometimes it is. But it's often not the same stuff that the fans care about in terms of just like, well, this person should have a higher spot on the card, and I can't believe they had him lose in a roll, you know, lose clean here, do this, and, you know, like they gotta make him look, you know, like, one gets the impression that the fan base is overthinking it compared to how it actually goes down, and I guess you could also make the argument that maybe that means that the actual wrestling business is underthinking some things, but but I look at it now as like, you know, I feel like the way I look at it, most wrestling is like, you know, the number of things under an individual performer's control, and also how well they do with the material they're given. and feeling for them when they are clearly given bad material. You're like, man, it, you know, they... It's the interesting thing hearing about... Hearing Cody Rhodes talk about stuff. And why he left and all that sort of stuff. Because I, you know, like, hearing him talk about, like, the Stardust character in a, like, a pretty negative way. And thinking, like, man, like, okay, like, I see where he's coming from. I get that perspective. Also, like, he did really fucking great work with that character. You know, like, he was really doing well at making that character work and all that other stuff. And yeah. So, it's, yeah. It's layers, man, it's layers. I guess it always was, but... I think that's led to me, actually, that's the thing that's gotten me to be more into the actual wrestling than I was. Also, I think that, like, the quality has gotten better. The quality of the average WWE match, and, you know, of course, like, having easier exposure to some of the stuff happening elsewhere, happening in Japan, that sort of stuff. Like, you know, it's become easier to gain an appreciation for that aspect of it. In a way where before it was just like, I don't know, I just want to watch some ECW matches because I want to watch these guys get hit with trash cans because that's fucking weird. Like now, like watching it and getting caught up, like watching the back and forth going like, oh, they're really doing this well. But even then, it's not like losing yourself in the match itself and the characters. It's more like this still this very detached view that I've got of it, and that's just the way it is. I blame Eric Bischoff. I blame the Monday Night Wars. I blame Kevin Nash. Because they made the backstage contract happenings so much more interesting than anything that was happening in the ring, that you couldn't help but become addicted to all the dirt sheets and reading about the backstage goings-on and the actual politics, the actual storyline as to why this storyline went this way and all that sort of stuff. Like, they kind of... changed a lot of people's views of, or a lot of people's perspectives on wrestling, for better or worse. Sandow, yeah. Damian Sandow, great example of, well, you know, but then, like, what has he done since? I watched his debut in TNA, or I guess they're not calling it that anymore, but whatever his name was over there. I watched that, the segment he debuted on and came out and talked his talk, and it was, like, just not there. But, like, the Damian Sandow character that he was playing and you know, the stuff with The Miz, like, you know, the stuff all along the way, like, you know, was doing, like, really great stuff. That's the way it goes, I guess. I don't know. The answer is that there is no one answer. It's always going to be some chemistry mix of, like, well, it was this writer and this TV time, and you paired with this individual and all this other stuff. And, you know, you're going to have some people that can take any situation and make it better. But, you know, oftentimes I imagine that a lot of it is very collaborative. That's my take on it anyway. I don't know, you know, I ain't a wrestler. I could be completely wrong as well, but that's the way it's gone for me. How has it gone for you? Why don't you call me at 707-925-2662? can have a chat. You can ask some questions. You can yell into your phone. I don't know. It's a phone. It's a phone. People run like their small businesses and they're like, always bought some lettering and I stuck it to the back window of my car because people are going to read this and think, man, I need my kitchen refinished. And this is going to be the URL they're going to go to. Know if the phone stuff is working right. Because the way the Google Voice app works, it's always a little weird. Okay, it says that Do Not Disturb is off. Who is this? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey,
I'm doing pretty good. Let me try to turn you up here a little bit. All right. Hang on. Okay. Caller, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can hear you better. Yeah, go for it. What's on your mind?
All right, cool. So, Thought Media came out, and everybody seems to love it. But I've been seeing in the past couple of days a lot of flack about people comparing Thought Media to New Super Mario All-Star, or not Mario All-Star, New Super Mario, what is that? You or we? What do they call those games? The New Super Mario game?
Yeah.
Basically, like, how Thought Media is basically, you know, this love letter from fans, made by fans for fans, while New Super Mario Brothers is this very good, but still very clinical by the numbers. You know, this is what a Mario game is in 2009, 11, 13, whenever it came out.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get your take. Like, how do you, like, feel? What's your stance on it? Like, do you think it's, like, good to just have this, like, sort of, like, clinical, this is what the game should be by the numbers, or is it... Is it more of a? Is it better to have like a fan's perspective on what made these games good to begin with?
I think it's two different situations because if you think about Mario, like the Mario games have always come from a position of strength. Like they haven't made a terrible one. You know, they changed perspectives. They went 3D and they followed up on 3D with, you know, varying degrees of success. But, you know, like, Galaxy is incredibly well-regarded, and deservedly so. So I think you have, like, they kind of went off in that other direction and had it work. Whereas I think with Sonic, they went off in their other direction, and it rarely worked for the people that liked those old games. And also, like, I think they just made a lot of straight-up bad games from Sonic Adventure forward. So I think, like, with Sonic, you need a reset. You need everyone to kind of, like, sit down, catch their breath, and go, okay, what did we even like about this to begin with? Can we reestablish that? Can we, like, put that out and go, like, okay, we're pretty sure this is still good. And now, in some weird way, like, I've said, I don't know what they do from here, but now that you're talking about it, I go, like, oh, you know, actually, like, they've at least been able to kind of lay some new foundation and reestablish that, like, hey, there's something to this Sonic the Hedgehog thing. And I think that that's probably a good, that's probably the best place they've been in with this for stuff for a long time. Otherwise, it's been like the 3D games, you know, one out of every seven is well liked, and even then you're like, oh, well, you know, yeah, people regard Sonic Colors as being good, but also not in a way that makes people that excited. It's like, oh, that was a good one, but no one's going crazy about it. So I think Sonic Mania is like a good reminder of why Sonic the Hedgehog maybe was popular originally, and it gives them like a kind of a good refresher, you know, like, hey, here's what made this good. Now maybe we've got a new jumping off point for something else. But also, like, Sonic Forces is coming out, and I played some of that, and it just seems like more of the same polygonal 3D Sonic stuff that is all I've always felt has been incredibly lame. So I wonder if they'll just keep on this like two Sonics track of like, hey, we're gonna make the classics ones for people that care about that stuff, and apparently enough people still care about the bad Sonic games for it to still work. I don't really know. It's confusing.
Follow-up question, is Christian Whitehead the new Yuji Naka?
I guess by default he kind of has to be. So let's
talk. All right, Jeff, thanks for your time.
All right, see ya. Prope. Is Prope still around? If I can carve out some time, I think I'm going to try and finish Sonic Mania this weekend. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello.
Hi, Jeff. This is Tim calling from Ithaca.
How's it going? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just wondering a long time, and I know you've mentioned the site redesign coming up, and I was just wondering a little bit how that collaborative process works now, like how long it takes, what you're looking for, and how that works with the designers and all that. And the engineering team.
Yeah, well, it's you know, like, we have a lot of different features that come up from different sides of the, you know, so there's Will Carl, who I work with in engineering. There's a guy, Joel, who is, like, the head of product. Dan, who's one of the designers, and they work in a central capacity, so they work on GameSpot as well, because there's, like, a shared code base there and some shared design elements right now. So they're not like giant bomb people full time. But you know, in some cases it's like, you know, we've been talking about redesign stuff for a while in terms of just like looking at the site and going like, you know, when you look at the type of content we put out, the frequency at which we put out content, like the current homepage is not set up especially well to surface what we do. So like that's kind of my, you know, that's kind of how I kick that stuff off is like, hey, we at least need a new homepage, but also, you know, we need to organize videos better. So what we really need is a shows concept that lets us break videos up into shows. And then we need a hub page for shows that can kind of say, these are the most recently updated shows. Here are the shows that you're following and with that. And I think everyone kind of agrees, you know, that's where we're at content-wise, but the site does not support that content especially well.
I've seen the shows being broken out, and I've stuff. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that moves going forward.
Yeah, and you know, like the wireframes and stuff that. So Dan, who's the designer, one of our designers. He also did design the Murder Island shirt. He is working on wireframes for, like, here's what the homepage could look like. And like, you know, right down to pages like, here's what the new podcast page could look like, because we're going to be able to finally unify, like, so we put up four versions of the Bombcast every week, because it's audio and video, it's premium and free. And right now that's four separate pages on the site, and it's confusing. So this will be able to, you know, we'll be able to unify those onto one page with one set of comments and all that other stuff, and kind of just stop leading to this, like, confusing publishing that we've, you know, that's, you know, just, oh, hey, this Outback's going to try to merge into me. Great. And, you know, so, you know, we're solving very real problems with the site, and it starts out with that. And then from there, it's like, okay, if we're really honest with ourselves, like, this is a video site. Like, the text stuff is important when it's there, so we need to make sure that there's a way for us to surface text, like reviews or articles or, you know, whatever, when it's there. But it's not, oftentimes it is not there. So, you know, if we're really honest with looking at what we do, we're a video site. So how do you surface that stuff? What are other video sites doing? So, you know, I'm looking at literally WWE Network and Netflix and all this other stuff, and looking at the way that they surface shows, the way that their episode pages look, and that sort of stuff. And so we're kind of looking at how other people are doing it from you know, or how other people are surfacing video. People that have a lot of video, specifically. So,
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. And then with the engineering side of things, you know, some of that is just like, hey, there's a bug, or hey, there's a project that would probably be fun, but it's not something we can necessarily get a ton of priority for right now, but we all agree, we think it would be cool, so maybe we try to do something like that later this year, or if you can find any spare time to work on this other weird project, maybe this, but right now, there's a lot of work going into search, because search is pretty bad on the site, and so I'm now testing a new search algorithm that the engineering team has put together that'll be better at, like, hey, if I type in Batman, what do I really actually want to see in a search result? Whether it's, you know, wiki stuff or like our content, and finding ways to surface everything that's on that website. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that too. Yeah.
All right, John Jekyll, I appreciate you taking the call. It's always good to hear you talk. And I'm actually wearing my Murder Island shirt right now. So
excellent.
Appropriate reference.
Nice. All right. See ya.
Thanks, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
See ya.
Bye. You'd like it if you could subscribe to a series. That is exactly what we're going to do. You'll be that should actually come before the redesign. There'll be follow buttons on the show pages. And you can opt in to get an email if you want. Hello, who's this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Jeff, Sean from Ohio.
Hey, Sean, what's on your mind?
Well, actually, I'm playing PUBG right now, so pretty intense.
Awesome. Awesome.
So, I guess I have a question. Probably, what is your best gun, I guess? Probably the assault rifle. I'm assuming it's probably an M4
Star. Oh, like what's? Sorry, it was breaking up a little bit. My favorite assault rifle in Battlegrounds.
Yes.
You know, I think I've done all right with the Scar. The Scar seems to be the best, but I can't tell. I don't know. Like I feel like I wish that game just had a straight up shooting range, so you could just kind of get in there and really pick the weapons apart and get a really good, strong feel for all of them. Because, you know, it's like, if you think about it, like, the conflict in that game is so frantic, like, and so fleeting that oftentimes you don't get a ton of, like, actual trigger time with the weapon you're trying to get better at. Because it's just like, well, I picked up whatever, like, you know, which pistol is better than which pistol? I don't even know. Like, they're all, it's just like, hey, it's a pistol just in case. So I think the Scar, just because it seems like it's been a relatively stable weapon that can take a lot of attachments, and it has full auto, but also, you know, single shot. If you kind of want to put a scope on it or something like that, it'll fill multiple roles. Is my impression of it. But I don't know. I like the S12K personally. I like that magazine fed shotgun. I've done most of my dirtiest work with that thing.
Yeah, I usually feel like lean towards the M4 because it does have more attachments technically than the Scar.
Does it? Okay. All right. Yeah. I feel like I haven't. I feel like I see more Scars than M4s. But yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks for my question. Yeah. Thanks for calling. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to get a sense for the weapons in that game. or, you know, like, obviously, like, the classes of weapons are dramatically different, but, assault rifles in particular, like I have trouble differentiating between them, like, especially in a, like, kind of heat of the moment, like, I've got a SCAR, should I trade it for this other thing, yes or no? Like, alright, this is probably our last call, because I'm getting into actual traffic now, and I gotta do some think driving. Hello, who's this, where are you calling from?
Hey Jeff, this is John from Somerville.
Hey John, what's on your mind?
Well, I've got a question for you on the subject of Battlegrounds. If this doesn't hit 1.0, if it doesn't actually come out this year, how are you guys going to tackle that come Game of the Year time?
I mean, I don't envision us changing anything about our rules with regards to early access games being eligible for awards. Like, I don't think this is a case of bending the rules for the official site awards. I think, at least for the top 10 list. And, you know, always the personal top 10 lists have been way more free and open. And I think some of our categories, for stuff, I want to say that those have been a little more open in the past, so that might be where I could see some flexibility or something. But if they don't take that game out of early access, I don't think it's eligible for a Game of the Year, like a real, like the award. All right. He got his answer and hung up. Like, all right. I'm in Hartford. I got things to do. That's going to do it for calls. Thanks, everyone, for calling in. But yeah, I think that's something like if there was any effect on our rules around how we treat early access and stuff like that, I think that that's stuff that we would take into account next year. Like, I think it would be weird to change the rules specifically because there's a game we really like that is still in early access. I think it's got to be kind of like in a vacuum, separate, like, okay, this thing happened and we felt like our rules did not evolve, so now let's change it. Or something like that. But also, that gets into a lot of the site redesign stuff, or some of the stuff I've been thinking about, like release dates and how we treat release dates and how that all goes. I mean, because if you think about it, like, early access is now starting to lose meaning in a lot of ways. Thanks to stuff like Fortnite and Paragon. We talked about it a little bit on the show, like, you know, like Fortnite, there's a retail release that doesn't say anything at all about it being early access. Like, you know, people can buy it in stores. Like, people would want a review. People would want to know if it's worth their money or not. And so that, I think, that is the reason you do reviews, is to help people know more about a game and, you know, like, maybe make a better decision about what they're playing, what they're spending their money on, whatever. And yeah, like, yes, exactly. All games are in progress now. All games get patches, all games get updates, so at what point is the term early access utterly meaningless? If a game is for sale, it's for sale. If it's something that someone could spend money on, then you're going to find someone who wants to know if they should or not. And that's what... That's one of the things that reviews are there to help with. So, you know, in some sense, you get the impression that some publishers might be using early access as a way to avoid that criticism. And I think that people on the review side of things are they need to continue to change the way they approach games and when they approach games to compensate for that. It was a lot easier when early access was like a relatively minor thing for indie games, and you were like, well, I mean, yeah, this game is clearly not done, and, you know, maybe we should wait until it's out for real before we kind of, but, you know, whatever, like, all games update, all games get patches, plenty of retail games have shipped completely broken and been reviewed because they're, you know, they're done, quote unquote. So, I think that stuff has changed to a point where, like, the bar has to change. It doesn't have to be, because right now early access is a way for them to say, oh, it's not ready for review yet, which is like, no, that's not something a publisher gets to determine. If they're letting anyone who wants to play the game for some amount of money, and so at some point, yeah, the bar changes to become, is this something a person can buy? And then maybe reviews need to become more fluid, but then you get into a resourcing issue of, like, you can't promise to update every review. You know, if you start saying you're going to review early access games, and then you never revisit those games as the games change, then it's, at that point, you know, is the review meaningful? Is it still fair? It's hard to say. That gets tricky because there are so many different dumb things around reviews. Like, you know, okay, what about the review score aggregators that refuse to update an outlet's score when they re-review a game? For good reason. Their reason was that they didn't want an outlet to be pressured by a publisher into changing a review score and have that affect the overall Metascore. Like, that stuff comes from a good place, but there are casualties that come along with that way of thinking as well. I think it's super funny and also very cool that Arthur reviewed Dota 2 on his way out. I think that's a good choice for a lot of reasons. But also, that Dota 2 review will be utterly useless in a year, probably, right? Utterly useless. I mean, you know, it probably depends on how you write the review. I mean, that game is mature enough and robust enough that there are things about it, you know, obviously, like, the meta will change. The flow of a match will probably change. But there are probably some hard constants about Dota at this point that that you could feel pretty safe about weighing in on. Right, yeah, patches fundamentally change the game, but also did it make anyone more or less likely to play Dota 2? I guess I don't know. I guess the actual answer is I don't know. Like, I can only speak personally. That patch did nothing to make me want to play Dota. But are there people who leave the game because of a patch and come back because of a patch? I guess there must be. I mean, Counter-Strike 1.6 teaches us that. That there's definitely a fan base for specific variants of a game. But at the end of the day, like, you know, no matter how many patches they put out, it's still Dota. Like, they didn't, like, wake up one morning and be like, alright, what if 100 heroes parachuted onto an island and shot each other with guns? That's Dota 2 now. I think about it in terms of just like if you're let's say, you know, like if you're a connoisseur of video games, if you are very into video games, not just some person who cruises in and goes like, what's up lately? Which is the game with the lady with the swords? I want to play that one. You know, if you follow this stuff on any regular basis and have, like, a genre preference. Like take Street Fighter V, for example. I don't think Street Fighter V is a particularly great game. And I don't feel like any of the stuff they've done has really changed my feeling on it that much. Like, they've moved the needle a little bit. But also, I would say, if you play a lot of games, and you especially have an enjoyment for fighting games, yeah, you should probably get Street Fighter V. You know, you'll have issues with it, but you will probably, you care about this stuff enough to want to be a part of that conversation about what you don't like about it, so you should probably just get it. And I would probably say the same thing about, like, whatever Dota patch comes along. I could see that probably coming down somewhat similarly. It's like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess they nerfed this and changed the way you have to, you know, cast this. And you know, they added these two characters. And, you know, I have a lot of thoughts and feelings about it. But ultimately, you should still check it out. I think, you know, with the way games go on sale these days and you know, and there's just enough people that care about the medium or whatever, they do it for the culture, if you will, that for those people, I think traditional game reviews are about as useless as possible, about as useless as they could be, because they follow this stuff closely enough that, you know, even a game that's bad, they still want to know about. Yeah, word of mouth, Twitch. That was, yeah, so there's a, Paul Barnett came in, this week, and I recorded a thing with him that's gonna go up this weekend. And we got into a little bit of the, briefly, you know, we got into a lot of different stuff, but we talked a little bit about discovery and, you know, like reviews and influencers and how all that stuff, like how are people actually finding out about games? And yeah, it was a fun discussion. So dude in a strip club security guard looking suit walking up the street holding like 4 bags shouting Ali Alejandro.
its last stretch is always the worst. I want, you know, I wonder if I just went all the way out to Embarcadero and swung in that way, if that would end up being faster. It's like kind of a big loop around this shit. But it might actually be a little faster if there wasn't a lot of traffic on that route. I don't fucking know. Ugh. I just have to see what's on the radio at this point. That's, you know, there's...
I think a lot about the moment when I hit that bridge and I imagine flipping over into the side of the canyon. I think about the life that I wouldn't have had. I think about the experiences that I wouldn't have had. And that's really haunted me ever since. And I think about things that did happen to other people, people that I never knew. And I'd have to say that that highway patrol officer changed my vision of this beautiful, pristine, golden blankness that I, in my laziness, had thought of as being California, the golden state. He put some shadows into the gold for me.
What?
At every bend in the road, there's both sunlight and shadow, beauty and these forgotten tragedies and silent ghosts.
Silent ghosts!
Shadows and Gold was produced by Will Rogers.
If you know your geography, that's in the UK. So, and if you go to Wikipedia, you see they label them as a glam rock band, which, looking at the picture of them, they look kind of rough. Like if you saw them in a pub somewhere, you'd steer clear. Or...
Killing the dance floors, and this week we will be playing this out at Top Hill Boot Bar.
Yeah, we will have the beats that go boom, bang, bow.
Festival in Czech Republic, the 23rd. Wednesday, we're back in Ibiza with Armin van Buuren. And the 24th, we're hosting a Sexy by Nature tent at Greenfields in the UK. That's going to be really sick. And don't forget, 26th, we're going to be at New Horizons Festival in Germany. To find out all the two dates, check out our website, sj-rm.com. So right now, Para Samba vs. C in the SJRM Tribal Edit.
This is Sexy by Nature.
Banning out, huh? Yeah, well, yeah. The sick thing is, it's probably not for the reasons why you would think you would want a guy like that out.
That 303 basketball going on from the coast, and of course Ice Cube is the head of that. Charles Oakley was playing basketball one of the games last week, and he got a flashback, and he elbowed his man, knocked him on the ground. And it's a good nature situation. They had a lot of fun. And find out more about that, man. All you got to do is check out Shade 45 in the morning with the Good Citizen Sway in the morning with HB.
I'm gonna focus on that. That's right now, you know. Yeah, because I mean, I had to almost sue the school board to get him in a new school and blah, blah, blah.
Purple just a drama, took her for some drink. I heard your bitch, you got that water. Splash, drip, splash. Slippery, excuse me, please me. I'm up, oh, believe me, believe me. Believe me, get beat, because I'm a blessing. She fought with me, a wife to be. Right in Italy, but all the fur look like the wildebeest. Just chill with me, she just no worry, it is a bill to me. I pull up Diablo, I pull up with models, I give her her first belief.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty far-fetched to think it would go that far down the line. Down a hatch. She wanna dose with me, dope, just hop in the ghost with me. Like, you know, seems like there's a very distinct reason why you just don't see Pence out doing much of anything. He's hiding in a bunker saying, I'm not talking to anybody. Russians, no one. I'm not fucking, I'm just here to be the president. Just, I'm fucking on ice until you need a president. Not exactly a fucking great scenario either, I guess, but...
Slimy, grimy, shysty but still shine. Rude and unkind. Cruel with no kind. Top the top on college, nigga. I ain't with no nines. I'm a murderer, nigga. But I don't remote vibe. Dead shot. AK make your head rock. Red dot.
All right. I'm here. I'm going to go. Everybody have a grand Friday, and I'll see you later.